Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 17th, 2024. We're here for your WWE post-Raw review. Man, a lot happened tonight. A lot went down. We got Denise Salcedo here, fresh from Scotland. She's got a bunch of content up on her channel. We encourage you to check it out. How you doing, Denise?
Honestly, I'm doing really good right now. I felt like today's episode of Raw felt really good in terms of there's a lot to talk about for today. So I like episodes like this when we're coming out of it and I'm going, damn, I don't even know where we're going to start with today's show because there is so much to talk about. But yes, coming off of Scotland, there's tons of Clash at the Castle content up on my channel. So please give that some love because, give it some love.
We encourage you guys to check that out. We had a bunch of scoops from this weekend on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. We also had tonight's WWE Raw plans. We also have an update on Megan Bain and her status without AEW, a lot of that. Best $5 in the business. Plus, you get access to our Discord and tons of podcasts. But we're here to talk WWE Monday Night Raw. Please leave a thumbs up. Leave us some nice fruit emojis in the chat. That's what we like. We like the fruit. So go ahead and give it to us. Leave it in the comments.
I like vegetables,
as well.
Sean.
There aren't any good vegetable emojis. Well, there's one. Well, technically, it's a fruit too. Anyway.
Don't they have like broccoli?
Well, you know what? Leave some nice vegetables. How about
Thank
that
you.
One?
Team vegetable.
But either way.
Here.
We want to hear what you guys think. We want to hear what you guys like, and we want to hear what you guys want to talk about. Leave a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful, or if you're watching on Twitter, X, Facebook, any platform, you can go to humperchats.com. That is H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. That is our Streamlabs platform. We got an interview with Killer Kelly that dropped today. We had 5 or 6 interviews last week, just a whole bunch of them. So check those out as well. But man, we Raw got a shot in the arm tonight. Not only that, they got a shot in the arm. They got about 5 new talent debuting as a result of the last segment. They got a big name in Seth Rollins coming back. Definitely something that I feel like WWE Raw needs as we head into Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, Denise.
It's definitely something the show needs, especially coming off of such a big WrestleMania when you had The Rock there and Roman Reigns and just so much big stuff that was occurring around that time. And we've all been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. It has felt like a lot of their big stars have been missing. I just mentioned 2 of those, but you're talking about another one that just returned today in Seth Rollins. Of course, we still don't have CM Punk back full time. Rhea Ripley. So there are a lot of these big names missing. So like you said, Raw got a shot to the arm today and it really needed it. And I feel like this was a really good way to come off of Clash at the Castle, heading into Money in the Bank. And I feel like so many of these shows are coming faster than ever. It's like Money in the Bank's here in like a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden it's going to be SummerSlam. Like we already know 2 people that have matches at SummerSlam. And when you think about how far along we're already looking, it feels like it's coming at you very fast.
BlueChew.com and the code Fightful is useful there.
Hey, but not too fast, bro. She wants to enjoy it too, bro.
That's the point. That's the point. Well, the show kicked off with Seth Rollins making his return. I can tell you guys internally, this was just listed as a Damian Priest segment. This was not listed as a Seth Rollins segment or anything. Obviously, they didn't want to tip off us. But
you mean you?
Me specifically. But and then as a result, everybody else. But we did have those plans up on FightfulSelect.com. Seth Rollins comes back He is he's back full on because Damian Priest comes out. Damian Priest said that he wanted to cash in on Seth Rollins, which I mean, I don't know about that one because he had like a billion opportunities to cash in on Seth Rollins and he didn't.
He teased it a bunch of times.
Yeah, they teased it a bunch of times, but I kind of like the approach of Damian Priest. Damian Priest is not a coward within storyline at all. Like he's calling his shots very often, and he tells Seth Rollins, "No, I want to face you at Money in the Bank because I know there's some doubt. You went in, you lost that match after you lost a match at WrestleMania. You faced The Rock at WrestleMania. Then you had to wrestle again. You had a banged up knee and now it's fixed. So let's see who's the baddest. Let's see who's the best here." And Seth Rollins couldn't believe it. Seth is like, "Oh, well, your guys are going to come out and jump me." And he goes, "Nope, that's not happening." He's like, "I want you at Money in the Bank." And Seth Rollins goes, "Well, heck yeah." Now, normally in many situations with, you know, I saw Piper Niven get a title shot where she hadn't won in forever. Alba and Isla when they lost last week. You know, a lot of that happened on this most recent show. But Seth Rollins is a little bit different. We're talking about WrestleMania main eventer who did have a torn up knee, did lose it at WrestleMania. How do you feel about Seth Rollins coming back, Damian Priest showing up and challenging him?
Yeah, so there's a lot in here. First and foremost, I had mentioned that we already know two people that are going to be getting title shots come SummerSlam, and one of them is Gunther. And so one of the things that Damian Priest has been talking about nonstop, and one of the things that he mentioned in the press conference for Clash at the Castle, was how a lot of people are seeing him as a paper champion, as a transitional champion. And that has been a huge part of the conversation surrounding Damian Priest. And I have felt like they haven't made his reign feel that grand. So having Seth Rollins come out, having this confrontation with Damian Priest, and this leading to a match at Money in the Bank, at first I was a little bit torn with this because I was thinking, damn, part of me wants to go with Seth Rollins because I do like Seth Rollins, but I also think, okay, we really just came off of that. We don't really need to see Seth Rollins as World Heavyweight Champion again. Instead, I want to see Damian Priest defeat Seth Rollins, especially because I'm already going into this expecting to see Gunther become World Heavyweight Champion at SummerSlam. And because I'm already expecting that, I kind of want to see Damian Priest carry this through past Money in the Bank going into SummerSlam as champion so that we could see Damian Priest and Gunther, because I wouldn't want it to be a situation where come Money in the Bank, all of a sudden Seth Rollins wins. And even though I do want to see Seth Rollins versus Gunther at SummerSlam, it would be a very quick turnaround. And then all of a sudden, because I want to see Gunther as champion, I wouldn't want to see Seth Rollins lose there at SummerSlam. Win at SummerSlam. So for that reason, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, this is a good thing. This is a good thing that they're using this to spice up Damian Priest's run as World Heavyweight Champion, because I think that they have really needed this. Of course, he had the big win this past weekend. That was great. But we all know that that was at the hands of CM Punk. And we sort of all saw it coming. Like, we all pretty much expected this. So I do feel specifically for Damian Priest that he needs to get this win over Seth Rollins.
I do too. I'm not convinced that necessarily will happen because I could see him involved with something else at SummerSlam, especially if Judgment Day continues to disintegrate. I want to see who wins Money in the Bank. And also, I think Seth Rollins versus Gunther for the world title could be something very big as well. But I think that Damian Priest I'm tired of people gaslighting me on the internet to make me think that Damian Priest isn't good or isn't a good champion. I think he has delivered. He's had really great matches. I buy him as a champion. His crowning moment was good. He had a memorable moment, albeit one that wasn't maybe intentional at Clash of the Castle. He's out there challenging people within his character. They have made him a badass character that is outright calling his shots. Like, that's not something that we're used to seeing out of with a lot of heels in WWE. And he's saying, "No, I want to bring the fight to you. I'm not running from this." And that's what a champion should do in WWE. They should have that belief. Like, what does he think? Like, he's just not going to wrestle at Money in the Bank? No, he knows So I'm really glad that they're
rocking
with this.
I disagree with you on that because I do see where people are coming from with that because while the moment was huge at WrestleMania, again, there wasn't really like any huge indicators besides him holding the briefcase that he had been set up to become World Heavyweight Champion. It felt more so like he became
a pretty big indicator though.
Yeah, but come on, Sean, like, let's be real. Like, they hadn't really built him up by himself. It was more so as an act. Just because you're Money in the Bank briefcase holder doesn't necessarily mean that you should be World Heavyweight Champion. So they had to set him up for that, and I didn't feel that the setup for that was that strong heading into the show. It felt more so like they made him World Heavyweight Champion in order just to keep continuing the story with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, where it's like, okay, we're going to have him become champion, but the bigger story here is really CM Punk and Drew McIntyre and furthering this. So then, okay, fast forward, I feel like the part that has been working, all the stuff that has been working for Damian has been strongest on the pay-per-views itself versus the week-to-week television. It has sort of felt a little flat, and I think that's where the problem lies and why a lot of people are like, what's going on here? This is why we're not feeling it yet, because I do think that on the weekly television, you have to be presented as a lot more grander as a champion. And so for me, it's been good. It's been okay. It's been fine on the PLEs, but on the week-to-week television, I think that is where the presence of a big champion is sort of not coming to fruition on the weekly television.
I think his work in Judgment Day properly prepared him for this because they were the most heavily featured act on WWE TV. He won Money in the Bank. He had a very memorable moment involved with a lot of the top talent. We're talking Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk. But then what happened within the next few weeks? All those guys were off TV in certain ways because Drew was hurt a little bit too. But I think that he has taken firm control of Judgment Day. Again, that couldn't have been predicted either with Rhea's injury, but I think he's done a really good job. We've got some super chats and humper chats. Quote, the Raven says, people have forgotten about the Orton-Gunther rematch. I think that was just suggested. It wasn't confirmed. Gunther could lose via Vinci screwing him. I don't think they're going to involve Vinci in the SummerSlam main event. No offense to him. Who earns the right to lose to Gunther at SummerSlam, Rollins or Priest? I mean, that's a big thing. Also, where the hell's Gunther been the last
He's been getting weeks? Ready. Why does he have to show up? Shit, he's already got a match.
That is fair. That is a fair point. Like, I mean, give him a few weeks off. Why not?
I imagine him like freaking Drago from freaking Rocky IV, where he's just in the machines and he's like, you know, I mean, that's how I imagine that him getting ready that for isn't, this.
That's an element of AEW that I'm glad WWE is sort of embracing a little bit more. Like, we don't have to see Gunther every single week leading up to Money in the Bank when he's already got a SummerSlam title shot. Jonathan Coronis said, just wanted to say what's up, Denise and Sean. I'm still alive from that one party. What the hell did I just see? But good, because I'm going to Mexico this Thursday for the party. Oh, my God. This guy partying all the time. This fella. Michael says, Raw has been great from top to bottom with each segment bringing something different to the show. It's great to be a wrestling fan. Tonight had a lot of stuff happening to it or with it. And what I like, Denise, is they could have punted because it's the NBA Finals right now. And during a previous regime, I feel like they would have punted. But I do like that this group say, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to give it our best shot. We're going to put on some very important stuff, even though the Boston Celtics are going to win the NBA championship. K775, actually, we read that one. Yana says, beginning to fall in love with the World Heavyweight Championship. The feuds are cooking, and it's only going to get better. I know it's not the WWE title, but I hope it can reach the importance it once had in the early 2000s. Denise, so technically it's not connected to those. I posted a thing on Twitter the other day. I wish WWE would connect this with the previous title and the WCW title. I wish they'd connect their old tag team titles. I wish New Japan would connect their world titles again. Would you want to see that? Would you want to see the World Heavyweight title, the current one, carry the lineage of the former title? I mean, it's got the same name.
Yes, only because for me, it gets too complicated where it's like, oh, this one's broken up from this lineage from that. I don't remember all that stuff, bro. You're going to have to write it down and send it to me in a Google Doc because I don't remember all of this. So yes, I do prefer it to be streamlined. Make it easy for us simple folk.
Jonathan Corona says, Rollins and Gunther was teased before Mania 40. We might be getting the match for SummerSlam for the World Heavyweight title if Seth Rollins beats Damian. I mean, that could be something where, I mean, Gunther did straight up. He would get out and get into Seth Rollins' face, and he can be like, you know, it was supposed to be us, and it didn't happen. Now it's going to happen.
What would you rather see at SummerSlam, Seth and Gunther or Damian and Gunther?
That's tough because I would really like to see Gunther and Damian have like sort of a big man match where Damian's got to do some high flying stuff because he's got that ability. I think the story is leading me to believe it's going to be Rollins and Gunther because I think something drastic will happen with Judgment Day to take Damian Priest's attention over there. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh man, I'm going the other way, man. Even though I think that the Seth Rollins match with Gunther would probably be more my style, I have a feeling it's going to be the other direction with Damian and Gunther. And I'm hoping that's like a surprise. Like, I think it'll be like a good hit. Like the match will hit.
Tim says, question, any word on Jimmy Uso's return? Fightful Select reported recently that he was injured, and it was injured enough to keep him out of the draft. Usually that means they're going to be out for quite a bit, but I'll work on what I can. Jonathan Corona says, Sean, question to ask you, any info on WWE Puerto Rico and Mexico and WWE creating partnerships with them? Is what Lucha Libre Online saying true? What are your guys' thoughts on it? Well, I mean, listen, they have been open to working with GCW. They sent Shayna over there. They sent Shinsuke Nakamura over for Great Muta's show last year. They're sending AJ Styles over to Noah. They've worked with TNA. Yes, I believe Lucha Libre Online's report. I've not completely confirmed it yet, but I do believe it. And also, as Brandon Thurston pointed out, this would certainly help against any looming antitrust cases, as MLW was able to get like a $20 million settlement out of them, Denise. It's hard to prove an antitrust case when you're sending talent to a bunch of other companies. I think this is very healthy. It creates a lot of buzz. I think it's a smart idea, Denise.
It's so funny. I don't think we've talked enough about how AEW and Tony Khan and everything that they did with working with all of these promotions has sort of been a little extra push in WWE doing the same thing. It's kind of fun.
And it's working out pretty well for everybody. Mr. Straight Fire says, not even going to lie, thought it was absolute trash, but Bron Breakker's theme is growing on me. Has that old school badass theme. That was put in a different segment than what it should have been, but it's growing on me a little bit too, Denise.
It's working the opposite effect on me. So before I really didn't notice it too much because there really wasn't anything to really notice. And this week, today, of all days that this super chat comes in, was the day that I was thinking to myself, damn, this song sucks. I needed to grab my attention. This isn't grabbing my attention. How long have we been hearing this song? And this was the first time I actually really paid attention to it.
I gotta be honest. This is like the Nickelback of themes for me, where I'm like, I don't want to admit publicly that I really enjoy it, but there's some parts of it that I enjoyed.
I don't. It reminds me of like one of those songs where they're showing like the nerdy kid on TV and he's trying to get ready for school in one of like those random 90s movies. That's what this song reminds me of.
Jonathan Corona says, Sean, PW Insider are saying that WWE is looking to hold Bad Blood on Saturday, October 5th in State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. That's the one market WWE is looking for the event. You got anything on that? PW Insider generally has really good information, so I would be inclined to believe that. It's a little wild for me to see so many pay-per-views at the beginning of months. Like, I got used to them doing it middle, late, all that. But first off, yay for Saturdays. Hell yeah for Saturdays. But this is sort of similar to what they did last year, Denise, where they had an awful lot of shows that were international and not on U.S. mainland throughout the majority of the year. Then in the fall months, they had more that were in the U.S. Well, I mean, I know one thing. That would be a very big show for Cody Rhodes because, as you and I know, as we traveled there for him, that's where he lives. That's he's got a good foothold there. But Bad Blood, Denise, do you think they'll do it? Do you think?
Sure, I'm here for it.
Do you think they'll do it though?
I don't know. I don't think so, because she's very expensive.
But Kanye West showed up at Wang Mania this week, Denise.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that and giving that guy any thoughts. He's a piece.
Yeah,
of,
I don't want to either. I'm just talking about Wang Mania. That's all I care about.
Wait, was it really called Wang Mania?
It was called Wang Mania. Oh. And I got a good place for you all to celebrate Wang Mania.
I can't begin to tell you guys the value of a good night's sleep. It changed my life when I changed my sleeping habits. And HelixSleep.com/Fightful was a part of that before we even did business with them. I wanted to find a new mattress and I wanted to make sure I had the one that was right for me. I went to HelixSleep.com, I took their sleep quiz, got matched up to one of their models, and it's taken me from just a back sleeper to also a side sleeper, which gets me a better night's sleep in general. They have a 100-night risk-free trial. If you want to send it back, they'll come get it. They've got flexible financing plans. They've always got great deals over at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Ideally, you're spending at least one-third of your life in your bed. Make sure that you invest in your sleep. It's something that you're using a great portion of your life. You want to check them out. They've got a 10 to 15-year warranty, free U.S. shipping with quick, no-contact delivery. Setup is so easy, and they got 30,000-plus five-star reviews at HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
Check it out, guys. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. They always have great deals over there, so check them out. Quote the Raven says, "Calm down, Denise. You still have worlds apart." I asked Sammy about that theme last week when I interviewed him. We had the details up early on FightfulSelect.com for subscribers. He said he was initially like resistant to bringing back that theme because he wanted to move forward instead of back, but he's glad that he did it.
I like that song.
We've got Apex Caliber saying, actually, he's saying Bo Dallas will screw Seth Rollins, giving Priest the win. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I don't want to dredge up. Anything Wyatt and Rollins related. In fact, I might be convinced that this Wyatt family should never interact with Seth Rollins at any point in the history of time ever. I don't want to bring that back up. Oh my God, just miserable. And Denise is having PTSD flashbacks right now. Just sit.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, and a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past, and it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them. And you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a two-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There in a room with Matt Camp and Sean Waltman, like helicopters from Vietnam.
Girl, I had forgotten what you were talking about, my PTSD. I was like, what do I have PTSD to? I feel like I have PTSD to a bunch of stuff.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to sit here with my eyes bulging out.
Chad Gable was backstage, and he's demanding a title shot. He lost his fifth one. Fifth, and Adam Pearce is like, back of the line, bro. And Chad Gable's like, yeah, okay. Well, I'll beat anybody you want. Well, he got Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman defeats him. And I mean, I see people reacting online. They're like, oh my God, he loses again. I'm like, that's the story. That's the unique element of the Chad Gable story, is that he's losing a lot. He's being gifted these chances. He still can't do it. He's claiming that he's coached all these guys up, but he's really just abusing and mistreating them. I had no problem with Chad Gable losing this. He had to set up what happened afterwards.
Right. So to set up what happened afterwards, I'm fine. I definitely do want to see him win more, but at the same time, I get it. He's a heel and he's supposed to be, you know, an a-hole to his friends and to everybody. So this made a lot of sense with what they did afterwards. I didn't think the match was that great. I was sort of hoping for I guess the reason we didn't get to see him, but I wanted to see Chad Gable suplex Braun Strowman. I was waiting for it. We didn't get it. So when the match ended, I was like, oh man, lame. And I think to me it was lame just because we didn't get that actual suplex. But the match itself, there wasn't anything to really talk about.
Yeah, I think he did it before. I think he did it years ago.
Oh, years ago. I thought you meant today. No, he tried today, but then couldn't. Yeah.
I actually think is better, because I don't know if you want him doing like a feat like that and maybe baby facing himself a little bit. Yeah. And after the match, Gable berates Tozawa. He slaps him in the face. He takes Maxine's crutch from her and throws it. And Maxine rolls out of the ring because Otis is protecting her. And Otis turns and gives Gable a look, and then shoves him down. Doesn't beat his ass, shoves him down. I have been of the belief that the burn has been appropriate. Starting to believe it's a little too slow moving, because you only get one opportunity to do the big turn. And I feel like they established it here, because backstage Otis said, we're done. And Gable said that he expelled them. Do you think it should have been more violent?
Yes, because, well, here's the thing. When everything happened, the moment, right, Maxine getting into his face, I thought the second he took her crutch away, you don't do that. That was messed up. That was probably the lowest thing that he has done so far to his friends. That was the moment where I was expecting Otis to be like, dude, I'm like, what the F? Like, that was the explosion moment. I was expecting him to turn into the Hulk after that. But it wasn't until he slapped Akira Tozawa that really kind of brought him back around to really get very angry. And that was the moment where I felt it. When I was watching, I'm like, okay, like, this is it. You got to do it right here. Like, you can't prolong this anymore, or else you're going to have people be like, why the hell do I even care about Otis now if he hasn't grown a backbone? Nobody likes to root for someone who doesn't have a backbone. You could only care about that person so much. So they had to do it here. So the moment where Otis finally snaps and puts his hands on Chad Gable, I thought that was great. I reacted to it. I was very excited about it. I thought, effing finally, right? But then I noticed that people were commenting, like, I took that as he turned on him, that's it, it's over. But then I saw people commenting saying that they didn't think that it was over. So then I thought, okay, so clearly it wasn't such a big, had it been more violent, like you said, then there wouldn't have been some confusion amongst people that weren't actually considering this his official turn on Chad Gable. So then we finally get that backstage segment and he tells him like, oh, it's over. And then I thought, okay, good. I was right. I figured that was it, that was over. But there was some confusion, I think, for some people.
And that's why I think it wasn't like definitive enough. I would love for them to do like a dual interview next week, like Michael Cole backstage and they're sitting down and they're asking Otis and Maxine and Tozawa, why did you put up with it for so long? And they explain why. You know, he says the same things that he said about Mandy, Money in the Bank, and Tucker. And Maxine's like, yeah, I lost everybody. I lost my tag team. I lost my brother. And then Tozawa's like, man, look what I was doing before. I wasn't doing anything. Nobody took me seriously. And I think that Gable should at least feign that he feels bad about it. And then if they go right back to it, maybe they do a more definitive turn, or maybe they just blew their opportunity.
I think they just blew it. That's it. That was the moment right there. Yeah. So, hey, do you remember when Chad Gable called Maxine Taylor not so swift?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what would have been really hilarious? If afterwards, when Otis in that segment said it's over, I really wish Maxine would have gone up there and been like, and we are never, ever getting back together. And then Pat McAfee could have been like, oh, Taylor not so swift, clapping back at Chad Gable.
It would have been good.
That was a missed opportunity right there. It was. Writing team.
It was.
Call me for the Swifty stuff.
Do you think they get Caitlin Clark next week for the show?
I have no idea.
Do you know who Caitlin Clark is?
Yeah, I'm not an idiot. I don't live under a rock, well, Sean.
Well, I mean, let's see. Does she play? No, she'll be on the road. They play this. Maybe. They play the Sky on Sunday in Chicago. They could make it happen. I think they should do it. Toby says, I love you, Denise, but no one is team vegetable. You know,
bro, come on. Vegetables are so freaking good. You got your peas, you got your broccoli, eggplant. Trying to think what other vote. I like a bunch of vegetables.
JW Pringle says, I thought the Otis turn would have been bigger. I'm with you, friend. DNC Digital says, seeing what happened with Drew and Gable after re-signing is not going to do well for many future contract negotiations. I completely disagree. They are both in the middle of stories. Like, listen, most of these people are storytellers, not accolade collectors. Drew has done a lot of this stuff. Like, this story with CM Punk is one of the biggest, if not the biggest story of his career. The story that Chad Gable's got going on right now, which has transitioned from a feud with Gunther to a feud with Sami Zayn into Otis, has gotten everybody over more and is probably the biggest story of his career. It's not like, listen, a lot of these people do not care about the same things that you as the viewer care about.
I don't know, Sean. Chad Gable got killed today.
I don't know about that.
He's dead after. Did you not see him throw?
Okay, that's true.
I know, it was a joke. It was a joke.
You mean literally murdered.
He got murdered.
We might get subpoenaed as witnesses for that. My God.
It was more violent. There you go. Poor guy. He didn't get him from Otis, but he got it from the Wyatt family. Took the poor guy out for being a bully. So technically, they're almost like superheroes for taking out the bully.
Guys, get your super chats. Get your humper chats in to get your question or statements read on the air. And we have a lot to talk about. And a reminder, every week over on FightfulSelect.com, I'm doing a Q&A podcast, and I'm answering questions in Discord as well. KE775 says, any update on Natalya? Think she hits free agency. She has not re-signed yet. I think she will re-sign. Rafael Garcia says, at this point, I need to see Def Rebel's credentials. Your next big superstar, and you give him butt rock music number 4. It's a choice. Congrats, Celtics.
What do you think your theme song would sound like, Sean?
What would Def Rebel?
Yeah. If they created it.
It would probably, at the beginning, have me going, muted.
Oh, I thought they'd have like you that. Going, yeehaw. Since you like to probably. Say yeehaw a whole lot.
Yeah. That's probably it. DNC Digital said, that one was a joke because one quit and the other was possibly unalived. Okay. Fair. I missed that. Missed that one, friend. Unholy Union interview. They get interrupted by Shayna and Zoe, who absolutely should want a title shot. Now, here's the interesting thing. Shayna and Zoe got pinned yesterday, but they did beat the Unholy Union last week. Meanwhile, Jade and Bianca did not get pinned at all. who do you think has the more appropriate claim to a title shot? I'm thinking Jade and Bianca.
Yeah, same. I agree. Plus, they're the former champions, too. So there's that also.
We got Io Sky defeating Kiana James and Zelina Vega. We have Liv Morgan popping up. In a segment earlier, Dominic was looking for his purple cow vest, which is hilarious to hear him verbalize. And then Liv pops out there looking like Woody from Toy Story in said cow vest, interrupting this match because she doesn't like Zelina. Well, it works. Zelina does not win the match. Io Sky does, who won Money in the Bank and won the title last year as a result. This was able to get a few things going, but if they are leaning into, okay, Liv is going to face Zelina for the title, I don't know how much sense that's making, because Zelina not only hasn't won matches in a long time, she also didn't win this match to get a title. You see what I'm saying?
Like, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And they're very clearly setting up something in that direction. And I'm like,
well, who else would they plug in for that right now?
I don't know. I'm just saying, give her some wins. Let her win some matches if you're going to do it. And they don't have a ton of time to do it.
Right.
Like, what, 2 weeks?
I just feel bad because I feel like every time they put Zelina in these situations, it's always the exact same thing. She never has any wins. No one ever actually thinks she's winning. They did the same thing when she competed against Rhea Ripley, although that was a different situation because it was in Puerto Rico. So totally different scenario. But now they're basically doing the exact same thing with Liv Morgan versus I think that there's a way. I feel bad because they've already preconditioned the audience into thinking that Zelina is not going to win. Therefore, that automatically reduces your interest in the actual physical matchup.
Io Sky gets the win here. Listen, I think it's a smart idea to put her in there because she is a former winner. She is great in those types of matches, and she won it. She won it last year, and she won the title. Dakota says Gable cashing in on Gunther would be sick. That would be a good full circle thing. And then he could say that he beat him fair and square. Ooh, man. Quote, the Raven says Jade and Bianca didn't get pinned, but Jade tapped. She definitely did tap. She did tap. We got the Dragon Lee vignette. We got the Judgment Day segment. Priest kicks out Carlito to prepare for his match. I continue to like Carlito. In Judgment Day, it has given him a new lease on life. He's making jokes about Dominic saying that he left the vest in Liv's room. We had Pat McAfee using the Telestrator to break down who had the card. And Damian Priest uses that. He's like, I saw what happened. What's going on? And Balor says, no. I was just keeping it away from Dominic. Are you buying it, Denise?
I feel like I kind of have to because Finn Balor hasn't given any indication that he's got the dog in him. Right?
Okay.
Finn Balor just doesn't seem like that guy. He doesn't seem like that guy, does he? Like, am I crazy? Do you see it in him?
Finn's rolling up to that hotel room like,
I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
You're saying he doesn't have that dog in him.
He doesn't. I don't see it in him.
Hold on. What about this version? Does he got that dog in him?
No.
Come on.
No. And so for that reason, I'm sorry, Finn. Pass. I just see him as a sweet little. When it comes to that stuff, when it comes to love and romance, I see him more as a sweet little Irish guy that has a demon inside him every now and then.
Not the demon inside him. She wants to see the dog inside.
He doesn't have him. Dominic has it. Wow. It just needs to be clawed out just a little bit.
We will circle back because Carlito did defeat Dragon Lee. I thought it was a really good setup with Dragon Lee being knocked off the ropes. I know there are some people that were bothered by Dragon Lee not getting a win. Listen, I understand it. I don't see Carlito getting a ton of wins in the future. And I really liked the finish where they got him hung up in the ropes and he did the backstabber off of that. I thought that was really good. But also, Carlito's going to have to win here and there. Otherwise, outside of interference, Judgment Day wouldn't have that much use for him. I didn't have a problem with this at all. Dominic got involved. Liv got involved, LWO, and of course, our boy, where is he? There he is. He got involved too. JD McDonagh got involved. How'd you feel about this and Carlito defeating Dragon Lee? Because I saw a lot of people with that they had trouble with it, or they had problems with it.
Me, I'm that person. I also had problems with it. And the only reason I know why they did it, you're right. Carlito needs to get wins. So that's why I'm not all crazy going like, you know, I'm not going to do any of that. But I get what they need to do here with Carlito. But I think for me, it's been more so that Dragon Lee, they keep hyping him up, right? And he comes out and they promote him like this big person, like, oh my God, here's Dragon Lee. And then they don't do anything with him. And I'm like, should I even get excited for Dragon Lee?
Oh, they do stuff with him. They got him looking at the lights. That's what they got.
There you go. And so for that reason, I'm like, okay, you guys need to stop doing Dragon Lee like this. And I feel like that was my only problem with it, I guess. But yeah. I guess I didn't care too much to be mad or anything.
I certainly get the complaints. I understand it. And eventually, if you beat somebody and beat somebody and beat somebody, it's just not going to work. Mr. Acosta says, okay, Denise, he ain't got that dog. He doesn't.
Hey, you either do or you don't.
So Liv is backstage with the cow jacket, the cow vest. I love just how concerned with the vest, the cow vest Dominic is. Denise, how you feeling? Here she goes, take it off of me if you want it so bad. And Damian Priest puts a stop to it. And Liv is like, you know what? I think he does want something to do with me. Oh, boy. Flame Ink says, Damian seems like dad. Get your stuff and go. She's a menace, Denise.
So there's this saying in Spanish, and I don't really know how to translate it, but it's basically like whenever this applies to the situation where Dominic was willingly unzipping Liv Morgan, and then Damian Priest comes in and sort of interrupts. He could have been like, it's almost like, ahí está muy de dejado, basically saying like, you're just there, not doing anything about the situation. Sort of, it's really hard to translate, but it's kind of like, I'm trying to explain it, but basically you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, but you're allowing it to happen and you're not doing anything to stop it. You're just there allowing it to happen to you. And that is Dominic Mysterio in all of this. And that to me is the funniest thing, that he, again, is just allowing this to happen and he would be shamed for it.
Well, if you're allowing yourself to pay full price for pay-per-views, check out Nord.
How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We have a super chat from Craze. As my wish, Mark Henry comes back as a manager coach to Bronson Reed, recreating the Hall of Pain with Reed. Triple H, make it happen. Thoughts? I don't know what he's got coming up. Denise, I don't know if you know anything.
But I wouldn't tell you. I ain't no snitch, Sean.
Jerk. Well, I did interview him last week. It was a great talk. I really enjoyed it. And I mean, after the interview, I spoke with his son. Off camera, and he straight up said, I've got like 5 bumps left in me, and they're going to be reserved for when I got a bump for this fella right here. So I don't know if that's in the plans, but I wouldn't mind it. I think Mark Henry is great, and I really enjoyed interviewing him. Caden and Katana defeated Damage Control. So this is more about what happened afterwards. So I think this is good for a couple reasons. Caden and Katana get a win. So when they inevitably challenge the tag team titles again. It makes sense to do it. But Damage Control backstage, Io says, something's got to change or I'm going to change it. Because right now, Io is the winner and the other two are losing. Asuka's out for a while, it looks like. Get well soon. But KE775 says, is Io going to fire Dakota and Kairi? Who will she replace them with if she does? What are you thinking, Denise?
I don't want to see Damage Control break up yet. I have a feeling if they do, they'll get lost in the shuffle with whoever they're not deciding to put any focus on. I don't think I'm ready for it.
Damage Control, Bayley. Bayley would fit really well with Damage Control.
Who would have thought? I would have never thought of Bayley.
I feel like it should be somebody that really needs it, that needs to step up. Like I look at Ivy Nile and I'm like, okay, well, she should join Gable. She should join the Creeds and Gable, and then you can have them. And then on the other side, you got Otis and
Damage Control just looks so cool together.
They do. They look great together. So I don't want that to change.
I'd rather have them be who they are or nothing.
I'm with you. We got a Karrion Kross promo. This match was changed. It was supposed to happen today. It's going to happen next week. Karrion Kross, I thought, cut a really good backstage promo. New Day cut a good promo as well. And Kross was like, you know what? You cost my friends the tag team titles. You all gave me a dose of my own medicine. So next week, one-on-one, either one of you, doesn't matter. And New Day obliged. So we're getting that next week as well. This doing anything for you?
Not yet. I feel like I say the same thing every week, but I'm being honest when I say that. Not yet.
I'm liking it. I think Kross is a better promo than people give him credit for. But we know Sami Zayn's a good promo, but he's interrupted by Braun Breaker. And this is a lot of fun. Braun Breaker is very, very over. And so is Sheamus, who comes out to a big pop. And Sami Zayn, I love how he's just like, thanks for the get out of jail free card. You guys can sort this out yourselves. And they do later on with Sami Zayn watching. So Braun Breaker is very over. This match wasn't necessarily great. Braun slipped on the ropes, which seems to be an epidemic of late in WWE. I don't remember a time across two shows that I saw more people slip on the
back to back shows.
Yeah, and we're talking like three or four different times. And it's so funny because during the match, after Braun Breaker slipped, I tweeted, well, Sheamus is probably going to eat one of those spears that later on Braun's going to say, sorry about that one, brother. But it wasn't him. It was Ludwig Kaiser that ate that one. Because here's how it goes down. Well, first off, let's talk about the promo and the match before we get to the post-match, Denise. Sami Zayn coming out, Braun Breaker interrupting, Sheamus interrupting. Then we get this match that is like, okay. But at least it shows us that Braun Breaker is massively over. How'd you feel about this?
Right. So I was going to bring up, I had it in my notes. Braun Breaker needs a new theme. It's so unforgettable. Literally, that's what I wrote down. But we've already discussed that. I was very excited to see that Braun Breaker was coming for the Intercontinental Championship. When Sheamus came out, I thought, ooh, this is the cherry on top. We know that he has not won the Intercontinental Championship, and that would be nice for him to check off that box eventually in his long WWE career. And so I thought, oh, this is great. We're going to see Sheamus and Braun Breaker, and then one of those guys is going to go on and face Sami Zayn. This is going to be awesome. So I really did like the setup to all of this. I was very disappointed in the match between Sheamus and Braun Breaker. I could not believe that they did not have the chemistry that I was expecting them to have in this match. I was watching and I was like, waiting for the moment for it to feel like I was watching with fireworks. There was no fireworks in the match. Sure. And it was very unfortunate when Braun Breaker slipped. I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, like where, because you just never know, these horrible things can happen and you definitely don't want to see that. And so that was unfortunate. They did bounce back right away, but you could tell there was like this awkward silence in the crowd from the second that that happened and from the second that they started to try to get the match back in order. And then unfortunately, it didn't really hit into a new gear because quickly then after Ludwig Kaiser comes out. And I was sudden your focus is completely shifted into these other two guys. And so it just didn't work out, I think, the way that most of us probably imagined that it was. It was like a little thing. I don't know. Maybe I saw it wrong, but I did kind of get a little nervous with the way that Sheamus took that spear from Bron Breakker on the outside as well.
It was soft.
Right. I just felt like he landed weird from that on like his right leg. I don't know. It's something that I noticed very quickly. And then I did
he turned into it for sure. Sorry to interrupt. He definitely into it.
Yeah, it looked awkward. But I definitely thought that the best part of this entire thing was that aerial bird's eye view camera of Braun and Ludwig coming together in a collision. That was the best part of this whole entire thing.
Let's talk about that. So initially, immediately when Ludwig Kaiser interferes, he costs Braun the match. Braun loses as a result of that. Braun gets in Sammy's face. Ludwig is attacking Sheamus, and he has Sheamus set up on these stairs. Now, why would Bron Breakker not be pissed off about this? Like, Bron Breakker's whole thing is complete confidence in himself. He does not believe that anybody can beat him, can touch him. He thinks he's the best. So Vince or Ludwig goes running around the ring, and this beautiful aerial shot just watches Braun take off and just destroy Ludwig Kaiser with a spear, as he should. Why would he not be pissed off about that? And KE775 says, does Sammy stand a chance against Braun? I think Braun should beat him for the IC title, because if not, I better be getting Gunther versus Bron Breakker for the world title later this year. And that is a match in my head that I'm like, damn, that's one I want to see. Just two unstoppable forces. Whew. This was good stuff afterwards, Denise. That shot, I mean, the crowd loves Bron Breakker. They're chanting for him. They're doing the bark. It's working.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good stuff from that. So I can't wait to see it. I'm expecting him to defeat Sami Zayn as well in the first go. Let's do it.
Cadillac Carson says, do you think Io going to Japan plays a role in this damage control storyline? I hope so. That would make a lot of sense. She is going to Japan as well, but maybe she could scout over there or do something like that. Drew McIntyre comes out. And he goes to cut a promo, and he's like, you know what? Screw this place. I'm out. And he leaves. Later on, we see Triple H trying to, I don't know, probably offer him cheese to stay or something like that. Like anything he can to keep Drew McIntyre there. Obviously a storyline. He signed a new multi-year deal for major money. Apex Caliber says, this is now the summer of Drew a la Punk 2011. KE775 says Drew takes out Punk on Friday because CM Punk will be at SmackDown Friday. I mean, you know, one of the things that Drew can do is literally mimic and mock some of the things that Punk did, like leaving and then showing up 1 week later. But what direction do you think this is going?
Well, they kind of mentioned it just now. I mean, there's just a couple of options. It's either he shows up on SmackDown or, hey, we just kind of kill some time and don't see Drew for a bit and stall until CM Punk is cleared and good to go. But I can't imagine. There's no way he's not at SmackDown this Friday in Chicago with CM Punk there. There's no way Drew doesn't show up to that.
I will be appearing on the SmackDown post show at the top of the show, guys. So make sure you guys check that out. With Kate and Alexis Cardoza. I'll be there giving you guys exclusive news. I like to pop in there from time to time. Matt Logan says McIntyre should win Money in the Bank and cash it in at SummerSlam. Like, maybe that's Triple H's way of getting him back, is giving him a Money in the Bank shot. Would that do anything for you?
Give who a Money in the Bank shot?
Drew, like putting him in the match.
No. I wouldn't want to see Drew with the briefcase. They've done so well with him. He doesn't need the briefcase.
And I mean, that could be justification from Triple H. Like, you know, you got cashed in on, I understand you're disgruntled. You got screwed over. You got screwed over last time. I mean, Drew has been screwed over a lot for a heel. This man has been screwed out of the world title like three or four different times.
He was sort of justified, by the way. They even showed the backstage footage of CM Punk getting the referee shirt. What? Like, it shouldn't be that easy.
Drew is completely justified in everything. Like, he's justified in not trusting anybody because nobody helped him with the bloodline. He's justified in thinking that he got screwed because, listen, Damian Priest cashed in. Dem the rules. Sorry. He got screwed by CM Punk, but also, like, what caused the CM Punk feud is because he was like, I worked with this guy. He was an asshole. And then he just left a place where he was an asshole. And he just gets to walk in here and get everything that I've worked for. Drew is completely justified, which is why I think so many people enjoy him. And I think that we're going to see a real polarizing reaction with he and Punk, which I'm very excited for. Do you think Punk and Drew could have a Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood? I hope so. I hope so.
Wait, did you not see the clip, Sean?
No.
You didn't watch the press conference with CM Punk?
Oh, yeah, I watched that. Sorry. Oh, yeah, he said he didn't want to do that or the ladder match.
He's making a joke, yeah, that about the Hell in a Cell. Yeah.
I mean, I think they should do it there as well. Have I heard of any interest in WWE for Megan Bain? Not necessarily. She's been talking with AEW. Full story on FightfulSelect.com. Rock Hard, Joel Wood says WWE has the perfect chance to do what they didn't do when Punk left as champion in 2011. Show up in TNA, Noah, whoever WWE works with. Do you think Drew will do those things? Do you think he'll show up in those other places?
No. Well, maybe not. Well, maybe not for certain. You know what? Let me rephrase that. I could possibly see it happening in some promotions, maybe not all.
And Brooks Jensen would be punching air with this angle he's trying to work on Twitter if Drew got to do all that stuff.
I haven't seen it. What's he doing on there on Twitter?
A lot of stuff. Is it good? I mean, he's popping up at some indie shows. He's getting carried away by NXT security. The social media stuff, didn't quite agree with some of that. Some weird implications there. But
on his social media?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, like, I'm going to go posting, look. Sorry, I missed it.
Posting some graphics of some rock stars that had passed away. And I was like, I don't know about that one. Don't know how I feel about that.
I haven't seen.
That's more worrisome than anything. D-Man Gamer says, imagine you're Triple H. You're trying to calm down Drew after he quits on air, only for Michael Cole to call you saying the Wyatts have murdered everybody. So, I mean, did they show Triple H like following him out or anything like that? Like,
no, Triple H didn't follow him out. Adam Pierce did. Triple H stayed there. So by all accounts, Triple H was part of those people that was taken out.
Now, I'll be honest. I didn't see everybody.
No, because it was too dark.
Somebody says, and Triple H was on the floor in the attack.
I didn't see that.
I'm going to ask our producer to mention everybody that was involved there as well, because that is very helpful for us. Joel Wood says, Braun is unreal. Gave Kaiser a head start and still caught up with him. He's a freak of nature. Jey Uso defeated Finn Balor and Rey Mysterio in the Money in the Bank qualifier. You got Dominic costing Rey. I love that that never ends, because why should it? But Jey Uso, Jey Uso being in this makes sense. Finn Balor not being in it, I would have loved to have seen him in there for the drama. The, like, will he win and cash in on Damian type of thing. How do you feel about Jey Uso winning this match?
Dude, I have a feeling he might be winning the whole entire Money in the Bank for the men's, and it's for the dumbest reason that I think he's winning. And I don't think the reason is dumb, but I think my assumption of why he's winning is dumb. But let's be real. We all know that they just want to do the Yeet Money in the Bank briefcase. I feel like that's part of the reason why he's going to win the whole thing, so they can slap a Yeet on a briefcase and sell it all over. Am I too far off on that?
Makes a lot of sense. So, nobody wants to talk about that match. Everybody's here to talk about the Wyatts. FightfulSelect.com had a big report this weekend, on Saturday actually, about the Wyatts. And there were a lot of people saying, what about this person? What about that person? Well, I mentioned on that report the at least the sort of costumes that would be involved and the great lengths that WWE went for them. There was an image going around. I want to shout out PWN, especially Viper reports. Like, there are some people that had seen this graphic, and I got to look at it too. And it was what it ended up being. And I asked around within WWE. They're like, you know, we really think this has an opportunity to be something good. And I was able to ask a couple questions, and I was like, listen, how will the supernatural stuff work out? And they said, it won't. It's not supernatural, is what they said. And they were like, go back and watch the Bray documentary. And there were mentions in there where Bo was saying, we've got to do something that would make Bray proud. And if you watch that documentary back from April, and we had reported this in our story, they would constantly hammer home about how a lot of the times with the Fiend and the Wyatts, it was hard to execute what they had set up in the ring. And outside of turning on a fog machine, there wasn't anything supernatural to this. So I'm going to walk you guys through what happened. The lights go out, you see the fireflies, and there's this piece of a set and a door frame with a light shining through it. We get a very Ring-esque character emerge, which we presume is Nikki Cross, who has not been on TV for a long time. And I'm going to say presume because I haven't confirmed any of these except for the main one. We presume is Nikki Cross. She points over and we see Huskus the Pig. Chris Levi believes it's Joe Gacy. I don't know if that is the case. And then that leads to the gorilla position where we see Ramblin' Rabbit point in, and Chris Levi believes that's Eric Rowan, believes that Loomis is Mercy the Buzzard sitting up at the top. Don't know that yet either. But we see just bodies laying everywhere. I mean, just everybody got that ass whipped. Everybody got that ass whipped. Braun Strowman's back there. Chad Gable's back there. Babyface heel does not matter. Joe Gacy has changed his Twitter picture to the man in the gas mask. We just got bodies lying everywhere, and then we see Bo Dallas as Uncle Howdy and got a great pop. They come out to the entranceway. They have the lantern. And they say, we're here. The Wyatts are back. A lot of QR codes set this up. This is going to be something that means a lot to a lot of people. There is a certain audience, Denise, that will really take to this. I want to know how you feel. We're going to talk about this at length because we got a bunch of super chats as we got one person saying happy for Nikki Cross. But how are you feeling right now about what we saw?
Honestly, this was very cool. I thought that the best part of this was that the entire time I kept feeling like it was this haunted maze. I like to do those every single year. I go to Knott's, I go to Universal, I go to the Queen Mary, I go to all those places where they do the mazes and the haunts and all of that. And so I've been through so many of these. And so as the camera was moving us along, that's exactly what it felt like. And then when we finally get to gorilla position and we see the sparks and the lights and everything's out and there's bodies everywhere, I'm like, yes, this is exactly a haunted maze. This is exactly the room you would go into and find all of this stuff. But I thought what really sort of took me aback was that at first I thought, oh, it's just going to be a bunch of securities or randos that we don't even know thrown on the floor. And then when I saw that it looks like the people in the production area were also taken out, I'm like, does that include Triple H? Does that include all of these office corporate people? Who does this include, right? I didn't see Triple H on the ground. I'm sorry. It was too dark. My vision is poor. And then the only person I honestly recognized, I thought I saw Braun Strowman, but I wasn't even really sure. The only person I recognized was Chad Gable because he was the only one that had like the light was shining on him enough to see like his, like more of his features, I feel. And so that was really the only one that I actually spotted, but that kind of surprised me too. And it made me think, oh damn, if they just did all of this, now I kind of feel even, I hate to say this, but now I feel like I have even more less interest in the bloodline, because the bloodline, this new bloodline, are supposed to be the madmen that were taking out all these people. They were supposed to be super dangerous. But now you have this other group, this other faction that's coming out here and doing all of this stuff. And so now they're the most dangerous faction. That's where I'm at.
Oh, man, there's a lot to talk about here. Jonathan Corona says, Sean and Denise, let's say you were to add four people to the new Bo Dallas group. Who would you add? Says, for me, it's Decay and Broken Matt Hardy. How about Jeff Hardy as Willow from TNA as he turns heel? I would add Eric Young because he was supposed to be added last year. Alexa Bliss. At some point, Braun Strowman. And then I would consider somebody else from Bray Wyatt's past. I don't know if Broken Matt, maybe Broken Matt would fit down the line. Right now, he wouldn't. But those are the ones that I would pick. I would pick people that are connected to Bray Wyatt or that were originally planned for it. Is there anybody out like that you would consider anything like that? Yeah, I don't think that they're going to.
I mean, the first person that popped into my head from like NXT was Tatum Paxley, just because she's got the whole dark gothic vibe thing. Yeah. She was really the first person that popped into my head. So yeah, that's really kind of it.
Vic says, finishing my birthday with you guys. Well, happy birthday, Vic. Says, with the Wyatts, do you think these are brand new characters or will they acknowledge them as Nikki, Rowan, etc.? I think they should acknowledge them.
Yeah.
They should acknowledge them and say they have been adopted into the family. I would imagine that Rob Fee has something to do with this. And Rob Fee is very close to Bray Wyatt, as you see in that documentary. I would imagine there has been a plan. I know there's been a plan for this. The return started in the beginning of April. That was the first hint. The planning started months ago. Jonathan Corona said, the last segment, WWE turned into a horror movie. And Will says, I guess Drew left the company at the right time. Mr. Showtime, I love that they just played the opening note. Chilling. Jonathan Corona, Bray would be proud of what he created. Kim Gray, actually, I just lost that one. Kim Gray said, after months of teases and QR codes, I asked my son if he was happy with that return. He said it was awesome. And listen, that is an audience. That is that younger demographic that they want to pull in.
Do you think that's the primary audience?
For this, I mean, there's a very specific audience for this, but I mean, I have mentioned this numerous times. Like, I love horror movies. I love them. I don't like supernatural movies. I don't like alien movies. I don't like ghosts and goblins. Zombies, okay, whatever. I like horror movies that I believe could plausibly happen to me. Like Hush, NSFW.
You don't believe that some aliens can come in and pick you up from the sky and then like zap you into some other place?
I believe in aliens.
You gotta include aliens. You just said you didn't like the aliens and the goblins or all those people.
Not my thing. Listen, any aliens smart enough to come here are smart enough to stay away from here. Because we got some real dumbass people on this planet.
Did you ever see that meme, by the way, where I think it was during COVID that said the aliens flying past Earth or locked their doors? It's like a bad neighborhood.
There you go. There you go. They cruise by our galaxy and they say, we're good. We'll stop at the next gas station. But I like The Strangers and stuff like that. When I thought the Wyatt family was at their best was when they were three creepy dudes from the woods. Because I live in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I believe I could run into people like that. I don't know if this will be that, but it is a lot more rooted in what I believe could be successful long term. You can't do The Undertaker these days like that. And what they tried to do with Bray Wyatt was they made him a middle schooler with audio visual like tendencies where he put worms on the ground and they set him on fire. All these weird things, man. Keep it rooted in reality and in things you believe could happen. Cody James says the playing of Bray theme on loop gave me goosebumps for the 10th of a second. I was expecting him. May the story be amazing in his memory. Let him in. Mr. Acosta says, We had the near start of a promo and a mass murder tonight. Ladies and gents, we are so back. I am once again sports entertained. I love wrestling. They have a chance here, Denise. They do. The buzz right now, at least in our chat, is overwhelmingly positive. And with stuff like this, I always wonder, because there's going to be also a pretty wide amount of the audience that's like, this ain't for me.
What it is that people, and this is what's going to happen, and hopefully this is not what's going to happen, but this is what could possibly happen, where it's like it started off really great because it did. This was cool. And it could go into a direction where all of a sudden, like you said, is maybe not rooted in reality. And I think that is when you're going to start getting some people going, oh, this is not for me. Like, it started cool. Like, with this type of story, you really have to be very careful that you don't want to lose people's interest, right? Because how far is too far? And so I don't know. I think right now for night one of this execution, it was great. It was awesome. People are excited. Cool. It was fun. Now we're going to see how they follow it up. And once we get the follow-up, that is either going to get people to all of a sudden not be interested, or it's going to get people going, damn, you know what? They really came up with a way to make this work in 2024 and not make it feel like it's just for children or people, or a very specific group of adults. I don't know. I don't know what the word is.
We still have plenty of super chats here. Jared says Chad Gable, 1986 to 2024. Apex Caliber says it's good that the Wyatt Five also attack heels. Yes, I'm glad that it's not. I wanted the chaos of it. They should not care. No Gable next week. He looked dead, says Flame Ink. Yeah, I'd be surprised if Gable would be on the show next week.
Poor Fear guy, and Loathing just says, had the worst day ever.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing it. I mean, you know what? That could kind of be the thing with Otis and Tozawa and Maxine. They're like, you know, maybe if we were there for him, he would not have died. Will Chisholm says, to be fair, that's Shorty G that got killed, not Chad. Not so magical. Mike says, Gable, in the future, an alternate universe. I want a money in the bank with a caved in freaking skull. Ryan Sully sent a very generous one that says, what a way to end Raw. So who was attacked backstage? I know Gable for sure, but I'm reading Gunther and Carmelo as well. Not 100% on that, but wow. Amazing. Chills. Ray looking down, smiling. Cheers. So I don't think Carmelo was. I don't know why he would be. Don't know why he would even be there. But based on what we see, Triple H, Chad Gable, Bruce Pritchard, and some more producers.
Abu, so you could actually see these people on there?
Listen, I'm just taking what we got on the notes from our producer right now.
Oh, I'm going to have to Abu start wearing my glasses.
Adam Pearce, Kenny Dykstra, Shane Helms, TJ Wilson, Petey Williams, and Bobby Roode laid out. I'll work on confirming those for sure. Ramblin' Rabbit and Blue Chew wielding strong hammers. Well, listen, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there about something that died and bringing it back, but
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code Fightful, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
J.K. Schwall brings up a good point. This would have been a really good way for them to write off Ricochet. Like, they could have killed him off. But, Joe Compton says Gable's officially a zombie. The Wyatt 6-6 took out Gable before Otis had the chance. The debut hit me in the feels. I mean, I could see Otis with a big enough heart being like, yeah, I don't like the way that he treated us, but I feel like if we wouldn't have left him,
Yeah, but maybe then that's that like going, happen. That's backtracking. I don't want to see
it
that.
It is. That's the board. He's such a good guy. He's got guilt over it, Denise.
I guess. I'd have been like, sorry, sayonara, goodbye.
Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. Lord Blake says, Wyatt's made me forget Seth returned. It was a phenomenal debut. What's the chance the Wyatts don't actually wrestle anytime soon? I want them to be pure chaos, and getting in the ring hurts that aura. I wouldn't expect to see them wrestling imminently.
But they eventually have to.
I'm wondering if we're supposed to know who's under the mask for the Wyatt Six. Obviously, some fans will know, but for the general audience, is it going to be an unknown? That is interesting because I would like them to sort of be rechristened, rebirthed as these people. I feel like that would be good to do. But Denise, do you think that they should be?
Oh, I know. They could cross over to TNA, go into the Lake of Reincarnation. Okay, there. I'm done. What? It's not out of the realm of possibility anymore. We have a partnership.
Unfortunately, it's not.
And the freaking broken Hardy stuff is back. We could go into the Lake of Reincarnation.
So, Cadillac Carson, did Def Rebel write the piano part? It's a collaborative project between Def Rebel and Code Orange. G. Alexander says Gunther and Mello got attacked too, not just Gable. Gunther was not there. Mello already confirmed on Twitter he was not there and asked the user if the backstage people were dead. So there you go. Throwback says, to quote Zach Brown band, life is good today. Great to see you, Throwback. We love seeing you here. He says, three seizures in 2 months, going through health issues and losing hope. Things will get better, my friend. Celtics are the champs for you. So you got that one. You got that one at least. And he says, Wyatt family is back. Love you guys. Thank you, Fightful. Life is good. Well, we're so glad to see you. Dread King's here for all the creepy shit. R.I.P. Bray. Joel Wood says Drew didn't quit because of Punk. He quit because he knew the Wyatts were there and he ain't no dummy. Same with Otis. I mean, that is interesting. Like, there were some people that just got the hell out of Dodge.
That was the first thing I literally tweeted was, good thing Drew McIntyre quit. And how sus is it that CM Punk said that this was the Raw that he was not going to be at and he decided to go over to SmackDown?
Right?
Who else?
Like, I mean, it'd be, I would like for them to kind of bring that up. Like, we're not dummies. We've got phones. We use the QR codes. I don't know why anybody else didn't. Bootleg Toe says, Cody bladed on Saturday and there was blood on a particularly violent segment tonight. How long until we see the move to TV-14? So I don't think Cody did blade. I think they did something else, but this was not blading either. But let me explain this again. TV ratings, they don't really matter in the same sense that ESRB matters for video games or MPAA ratings mean for movies. Like, those are distributed by a company that oversees them. You get to decide what your rating is. If WWE wanted to make their show TVG, they could. It's just a matter of the sponsors that are on that show going like, you know, this doesn't necessarily fit this content. If the sponsors are okay with it, then it doesn't really matter. It's not overseen in the same way. Supermo says, hey, Sean, out of curiosity, do you know if this is the original direction of Bray Wyatt before he passed? Hope this works out for them. You know, I'm going to ask around about that. I feel like maybe I'd be able to get some answers about that now. But I mean, obviously, Bray was supposed to do something with Bobby Lashley. He was supposed to do something with Alexa Bliss. I was supposed to do something with Eric Young, of whom none are involved now, Denise. So it's hard for me to believe that this was the same direction. Uncle Howdy was clearly involved.
It doesn't feel like the same direction right now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the same because the costumes were different as well. We got a final Humper chat from Juan Guzman. Hopefully it is the Toronto Blue Jays pitcher from 1990s fame. To add to the Dom and Liv story, let's not forget Buddy made out with his sister, Rhea beat up Dom before joining, and she didn't kiss him on the lips or get action. So Dom has his reasons. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of things they can play off of. I don't know if Buddy will be integrated into this anytime soon, despite what a lot of people thought based on this weekend. But yeah, Will says plot twist: Otis came back and killed Gable. There we go. It was just as violent as we hoped, Denise. We just didn't see it.
Stop. It's hilarious. I just put out a tweet. I put Chad Gable in the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
John Black says all the workers that read dirt sheets, which if they read the Fightful Select story, they escaped the Five Nights at Freddy's segment. So there you go.
Congratulations. Oh, this does sort of feel like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
I played it one time. I was so irritated, Sean, because all my little cousins and everybody, they were all in one room with the lights off. And they were like, oh, my God, it's so scary. It's so scary. And I was like, what is? They were like, oh, Five Nights at Freddy's. And they were like, oh, do you want to play? Do you want to play? And I was like, okay, fine. And they were like, it's so scary. So I sit down and I play the game. And it is the most boring effing game I've ever played in my life. I was not scared. And I cannot believe that all these kids are afraid of freaking Five Nights at Freddy's.
You almost did it. You almost got through one episode. I'll tell you what's scary, guys. Getting your news from second, third-hand sources and aggregators. Check out FightfulSelect.com. Check out YouTube.com/Fightful. More backstage news than anywhere in wrestling. Accurate as well. YouTube.com/Fightful. We are here every night. We're here many days as well. Denise, tell the people where they can find you, because you got a lot of stuff going on over there on your channel as well.
Yeah, by the way, they just changed Chad Gable's Wikipedia page, putting that he was killed by a member of the Wyatt Six. But anyways, you can find me at youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. So much content is up there, guys. Please go check that out. Plus podcasts, and I just do a bunch. Go check it out. Also, Instagram, I've been posting all of my reactions for when I watch wrestling. So I put the very best ones. So if you guys are into that, you can check that out on @_Denise Salcedo.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up. Please leave a comment below. I'm going to be in the comments talking with all of you guys. Until next time, we're out.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor super drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.